Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Good news. For the first time ever, the Adam Carolla Show is in virtual reality. Live, Saturday, April 21st. Heather Dubrow is going to be joining us. Just a one-time $4.99 subscription, and you can see it on your phone or your computer in virtual 360 reality. You don't need glasses, only a web-enabled device. Experience a live show from the comfort of your own internet. It's not going to air as a regular show, so you can only see it in person Saturday, April 21st, or buy the VR download and watch on your favorite device. Get it at podcastone.com/CorollaVR. podcastone.com/CorollaVR.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Bosch, Titus Welliver. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and Jeff Cesario is here for the sports with Chet Waterhouse. And now, he stopped watching Bosch when he realized it wasn't about power tools. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that. About you, we love that you share, that you hear the show and you share with a coworker. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. Jeff Cesario in studio.
Oh, brother.
Chet Waterhouse, everybody.
Gotta believe.
You gotta believe, man. I'm very happy. Chet's in the house. We'll talk to him. I'll clean up a little bit of business from previous shows. People had had questions. I have a question for you guys, a Philly cheesesteak related question. Mm-hmm. You tell me what you think.
Hide your socks.
Yeah.
You
put
tell
them on
me
a
what
shelf.
You think.
A
couple things. First off, when I was yelling about the CrossFit guys and the plates, I got lots of tweets about the plates and the different sizes and the reason they went with different sizes and different weights, but all the same circumference, basically, is to put them on the thing and whatever. And whatever I heard made some sense to me.
Okay.
Olympic plates, we heard a lot of. Yeah.
Rubber. Mm-hmm.
Right. And the 10-pounders, the 20-pounders, yeah. The 25-pounders, and blah, blah, blah. And I guess if you're going to be doing, let's say you're a 110-pound woman and you're going to be doing cleans, clean and jerk or deadlift or one of those Olympic-style lifts, the bar must be X amount of height sort of off the ground. And thus, but you're a 110-pound woman, not capable of putting more than 60, 70 pounds above your head, then those lighter plates will do.
Right.
All right. So clear that up. And I somewhat retract my everyone's a douchebag who does CrossFit. All right.
Somewhat.
I somewhat retract that.
Don't get cocky, everybody.
Also, another piece of older business as well, which is I was explaining in years gone by, if you were going to fly anywhere past Chicago or even to Chicago, you got a full-size plane.
Oh, yeah.
And now the 737s are going cross country. And then someone said, yeah, they always went cross country. And I said, no, they wouldn't make it across country. It wasn't really a comfort thing. It was like we couldn't do the Southwest size plane from here to New York. It just wasn't going to work. And then they go, oh, but they take them all the time. And I thought, well, now it's a 737. So what changed? Somebody said updated turbojets. That's why they started flattening out the bottom of the shroud and the housing around the jet, which always bumps me a little to see that one flat spot. It's like I feel like the impellers are going to scrape every time they come around. But
what if I hadn't thought about that?
More efficient jet engines, and now the planes that formerly had a 2,000-mile max range now have a 3,500-mile max range, and thus we can be miserable all the way. Whereas before, you're only miserable from here to Phoenix. Now you can be miserable from here to Newark.
Technology.
Nice. Progress.
That's called progress, everybody. Also, apropos of not that much, or a correction, like I was talking about before, where do you guys come down on this? homeless problem out of control. Would like myself a, I would like a traffic czar, as you know.
Sure.
I've said many times, how about a homeless czar? Don't you feel like we're now at the point where we just need czars? Like,
you're talking about the two biggest problems facing the area we live. So
right.
Yes, it would make sense that they should assign a task force.
I would bet you that you could get, we were talking about, let's say, all right, so this started sort of the thought. I'm always like, look, just give it to somebody interested. Give it to somebody who's energetic. Give it to some dog that hunts. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't even want to go. It pays $73,000 a year plus overtime, but you do get a company car and you can park down at the federal building. No, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about finding some Hollywood mover and shaker guy, some guy who's been a pioneer in special effects or anything, just someone who knows what they're doing and say, you, dear sir, for free, are the new homeless czar. Just go figure it out. Take care of it. What's it going to take? It's sort of loosely based on having Jim Abrams in here and Zucker Abrams' airplane and all that, and him basically finding a cure for son's epilepsy just because he's a smart guy who's motivated. He wasn't getting paid. He's not a doctor.
He cared.
He's not playing golf with big pharmaceutical or anything. He just had a problem. He cared. He's smart. He knows how to take care of business. Anyone knows how to make a movie, like raise the money, hire the people, get the thing, buy the screens, design the posters, whatever. Anyone can do that. Knows how to do this. Yep. Just go do it.
They can pull together multiple elements from all sorts of disparate fields and make something happen.
He produced.
Right. So shall we have, and why not have a homeless czar?
I'm shocked that we don't.
And a traffic czar.
Is it because it highlights how ineffective the mayor is?
I guess.
Actually, it's an admission.
And maybe he's the homeless czar.
Best example,
But that doesn't mean the king of all homeless. I mean, someone who's going to try to lessen the homeless
problem.
Yeah, it's
going to be confusing to a lot of people.
Seeing a guy carried around by homeless people on a
golden chair.
Golden chair.
Crown. I think
one of the toilets, out back here.
Had a funny, had this great moment last night taking the... We walked to Starbucks about 8 o'clock last night. I should tell you guys, Blue Apron, blueapron.com/Adam. Get 30% off your first delivery. Also, Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Get 24/7 protection.
What gets consumed at these late night Starbucks runs?
The donut, the frappe.
The late night Starbucks run is it's usually me and the kids. It's sometimes me and Lynette and the kids. Natalia goes for the fudge brownie, the heated fudge brownie. Then she steps out of the thing, out of the Starbucks, and we sit on the bench outside and eat it. And then she proceeds to get hot fudge and melted chocolate and stuff all over her fingers. And then I say to her, where's your napkin? And then she uses the bag, but the bag has a weird waxiness
coating
on it. And they end up just sort of smearing it around.
It's not
and
an absorbable material.
I explain to her that the napkins are free and they're by the door and she should get a napkin before she leaves. Man. And I've had that conversation 128 times.
And that is so cool.
You can actually order that now at Starbucks, that conversation. That's how often you've had it.
I'll take the repetitive conversation, please.
My son sits on the other side of me and eats my favorite, an old-fashioned donut.
Yes.
And when I look at him, he quickly explains, I don't need a napkin. I chose not to use a napkin. It's an old-fashioned donut. It doesn't get in my fingers. And I go, I wasn't going to bug you because I get it. Your donut requires no napkins.
Right.
Natalia is covered over here in a lamplighter or lamplight or whatever they call it. One of the NFLs put under their
eye black.
Eye black.
Yeah.
Are you going to scratch?
They call it lamp light.
That's from a previous generation, probably. I've always heard it called eye black.
Coal black, coal black or eye black.
Eye black is too on the nose.
I agree.
Lamp light. So look it up. Anyway.
Here's how you know the old-fashioned donut's the best. You and I both agree.
Yes.
It's the best.
And I just sit there.
And rarely happens.
And I watch them both eat it. Every once in a while, my daughter, just to show you, the main thing I marvel at with my family is how they can go get a smoothie, take two draws off it, and then just sort of announce they're done or not interested or whatever, and just sort of set it down. Here's what I would say. I would say that I will make this deal. If dear God, dear Allah, dear power, if I in my entire life, not my adult life, child life, and combined, all entire life, ordered a smoothie and or milkshake and or any beverage, and did not get to the point where it was making the part where it's sucking mostly air and a little bit of liquid at the bottom with the straw, you can put a piece of number 4 rebar up my urethra right now. I am so supremely confident that I have never, ever bought a beverage of any kind, and that includes sodas, and not made that noise. Yeah. Or if it's a Slurpee, I'm hitting the bottom of the cup. Like, I've never taken two draws off of a smoothie or a milkshake or malted and just went, that's good.
That's filling. Very rich. And
everyone in my family is capable of this. Yeah. My daughter walked out the other night of the Starbucks with some purple lavender, like pink thing.
That's the new one, the crystal ball or whatever.
The crystal ball. Yeah. And she walked out and she went, I said, what is that? And she said, crystal ball. And I have a policy, which is it should be like caramel or chocolate or coffee. It has to have something.
Some food related.
It has to like sort of exist in nature. Yeah. You know, if you tell me, oh, what'd you get? I got a peanut butter banana smoothie. I go, oh, that sounds awesome. Yeah. That sounds awesome. Or orange or whatever. When you go to Crystal Ball.
This one's called Fairy Dust Good Vibes. Here, try it.
Yeah, like it's, you know, the glacier blast and stuff like that that Mountain Dew offers up, tropical glacier blast. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. You're just taking random words and putting them together.
Yeah.
Now, I get liver and avocado, maybe not at the top of my list, but as long as there's mocha and peanut butter and chocolate and whatever, I'm down. When you go with the thing that just says disco ball, and I'm looking at it, and it's red and purple and weird, and my daughter just looked at it, and I went, what is that? And she said, it's the disco ball, you know? And I said, let me have a hit off that. Uh-oh. And I took a hit off it, and it just it tastes like generic sweet. Yeah. Just generic sweet. Right. Like, no, it's basically dessert in Mexico. Just, here's a whole bunch of sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Just go ahead. Just, it's sweet. That's what dessert
is.
It
should be called Jawbreaker.
Yeah,
it's
just
that sweet.
It's just a pile of sweet.
Yeah.
And I just went, it tastes sweet, but it doesn't really taste like anything. And she goes, yeah. And then she holds it like she's posing over the trash and just opens her hand. Like the old lady did with the jewel in Titanic. And just let it, for me, it fell in slow motion. Like, $4.28. We'll give it to the dog. There's got to be a homeless guy. Yeah. She just dumped it. And I was like, that's it? And she's like, yeah, I didn't like it. And we're just like walking. We're going to walk home.
Wow. So, that was a power move.
That was a message.
Having had possibly 3 treats between the ages of 2 and 21, I know exactly what you're talking about. When you get a treat, and that is a treat, you eat the whole freaking treat.
Yeah.
You don't backpedal on a treat. If you don't like it, tough. You ordered it.
There was no box that I had that was not like it if it had 80% sugar. It was not enjoy it as much as a Three Musketeers bar and then something underneath it or $100,000 bar or whatever it was. But there was no, I'm done with this. There was no such.
Like, it still has some sort of wafer chocolatey. I'll finish.
It'll do.
Or my dad.
Somebody
will whack
paid
me in
for
the back
it.
Of the
it's
head.
Sweet and it's in my hand. We're done with this math.
At the very least, street value. What do you do for a bite of this?
Right.
And I'm conflicted because I'm proud of her for thinking it's gross because it doesn't taste like anything, but I don't like that she just tossed it in the trash.
At the very least, you're going to toss it at Sunny.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. At the very least.
A perfectly good smoothie.
So he gets the donut, which I enjoy, which is tempting to me. But anyway,
I never take a bite.
Well, I think I know why Phil has a bit of a sad look on his face.
And
he doesn't get a lot of these crystal balls coming his way.
No. He could have. And so what's it called again?
The crystal ball, I think.
So
the last one was like unicorn or something.
It's like for stupid people.
Yeah. Chris and I walked into a Starbucks 6 months ago, and there was unveiling like the unicorn frappuccino. Yeah. And as anyone who follows Christy on Instagram knows, she loves unicorns and all things. It's a childhood thing. She walked in, unicorn frappuccino. I was like, oh boy, here we go. And she kind of looks up close at it. And she goes, no, it looks gross. And we walked away. Wow. We're so happy.
It is. It's
look, it's how weird that looks.
It looks super gross.
It's gross. It's like, look, it needs to have a base. And again, the base, caramel, chocolate, mocha, coffee.
There's peanut butter,
banana. Like, there are bases. Once it has that base, you can jump off. If it doesn't have that base, if it's basically, what is your base? It's a stripper shoe. Not a base.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, disaster. Threw it away.
Certainly not a base for.
It's a base for her boobies.
It makes me think because it's green.
Base for a horrible divorce.
You guys might remember this from the '70s, and then it changed in the '80s, and apparently it changed again in the '90s. Did you know that if you ask a different cross section of people what the Shamrock Shake flavor is, some will tell you mint, some will tell you vanilla, and some will tell you lime.
Really?
Because they would roll it out, I guess, in different regions at different times, different flavors.
I never had one.
Yeah,
and I worked there. Anyway,
oh, here's the
went there. All right. Went to Starbucks with the family. Now, it was Olga's birthday. So, she got to celebrate by cleaning the fucking dishes while we took a walk to Starbucks to get something to eat. So, she celebrated back in the kitchen. And
in her way.
We had this great moment, which is, I just said, look, kids, you got more money than I do at this point. I don't have any cash. I'm not eating or drinking or throwing away food. So you guys are in charge yourself. You would take some the money Uncle Jimmy gave you and hammer one of those 20s, you know. And they're real tight-fisted with their own stuff. They're fast and loose with my bread.
Smart.
So we went there and...
Tall, please.
Now... We had, now here's part of what I do. The family goes out and orders whatever they want to order all the time. And because everyone is impervious to carbs at my house, my wife, Lynette, she loves clams and pasta and, you know, all the stuff. All the stuff. The stuff you love.
Linguine and clams.
Linguine and clams. The best. The linguine and clams, the stuff, the carbonara and the linguine, all the stuff you love and don't eat. But, and then a huge pile of it comes home in a container because they go out to eat all the time. I go out of town all the time. And then there's just a big pile of it. And then it's in the fridge.
Yeah.
And now I have to look at it.
Winking at you.
And then they're not really in the mood to eat it again, usually at some point. And I can't eat it, and I paid for it. And it's also sitting in the fridge, eyeballing me. Every time I open the fridge, it's just there. So I do this thing. So I said to Olga, hey, Olga, you're taking this stuff home. As a matter of fact, I said to Olga, you're eating it tonight for dinner. And she said,
ultimatum.
She said, I'm going on Vinny's no carb thing.
Oh,
she's going SNG?
Hold on. At night. There's no more carbs at night.
When the sun's up, it's carb time.
Right. And I get it.
You don't sleep on it.
You don't have a big bowl of pasta before you go to bed.
Eat hay while the sun shines.
I said, fine.
It's
Hispanic
grandma NSNG.
Yeah. So I said, well, then take it home. And she said, yeah, I'll take it home and I'll eat it for lunch tomorrow.
Smart.
This big ball of carbs. And I said, okay, take it with you. And then we started walking to Starbucks. And Lynette said, we're going to get Olga like a cake or a dessert or pie or something for her birthday.
Yep.
And I said, didn't you hear the decree? No.
Oh, that's right.
No carbs. No carbs at night. And she said, what are we going to do? We got to come back with something.
Yeah, you can't come back empty-handed.
We can't come back empty-handed.
It's
her birthday.
Wonder what that is.
So I said,
chamomile tea.
Yeah, I'm not going to get her a roller disco frappuccino. What do we do? My wife, Lynette sent me back in. She sent me back in and said, "Go get her a present into the Starbucks." And I said, what do we got for cash? Because I didn't take any cash. Right. I don't have my wallet. You guys are on your own with your donuts and your desserts. I'm going to sit here and watch you eat it. And somebody pulls out $9.75 and goes, here's your cash. And I go, great. And I walk in and I look at the baskets with the displays of coffee. Yeah.
Here's your travel mug.
And I see
Hollywood.
I see one. It says Universal Studios.
That's right.
I see one that says... Nicaragua. Oh, not Nicaragua. Sorry.
Jesus.
Yeah, El Salvador. Where the hell is she from?
Salvador.
No, she's from Guatemala. Ozzy's from Nicaragua. So, Guatemalan coffee blend. And I go, oh, this will be funny. Okay, good. I'll get her a sack of coffee. And I like plop it down. I do that move I think we've all done. I think I had a $10 bill and 75 cents. And we do all that move where he goes, $20. And I go, here you go. And I flop the $10 down. And then I sit and wait for a while. And then he waits for a while. And then he looks at me. There's a weird move. I didn't do it when I was poor. Now that I'm rich, I have this thing where it's like, I'm giving you some currency. Please take it, knave.
It's like playing blackjack and not knowing the rules.
Right.
You're just throwing stuff
down. And so I throw that down. You guys tell me where you're at with this. Lynette says, we come here three nights a week. Just tell them we're good for it.
Oh.
And I'm like, I don't know. You tell him we're good for it.
I was going to say, that sounds good out of your mouth. Why don't you give it a shot?
Right. I don't think he's going. I don't recognize this guy. And this ain't Ma and Pa. This is Starbucks.
It might work at the Ma and Pa place. Yeah. It's not going to work.
Right.
The guy has to count out his till every night.
It might work. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't want to try it.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm not comfortable.
He has you fill out a Starbucks card application. Your credit card.
So I flop. I slap down the Guatemalan, and I slap down the 10, and the guy just looks at me, and he goes, this is 20. And I go, oh, do you have half this amount?
Sure.
And he goes, no.
Turn into Chris
Rock.
Pour it in
my hand. I said, well, what do we got? Because I got $10.75. And then he goes, here's a nice looking ceramic mug. And he does the move. I don't know why. Only with ceramic mugs and shoes do you have to have Jay turn it over to find out what the actual price is. I don't know why they can't just put the price on the mug.
Apparently, ceramics fluctuate wildly on the international market.
He goes, this is a good looking mug, and he picks it up, and then he turns it over, and he goes, oh. The backbreaker is it was like exactly $10.75, but with tax, that wasn't going to get it.
Oh.
So he does that, and we start turning over various mugs, like turn this mug over, turn that mug over, like when you do when you're poor and you buy shoes, you know, I like that loafer. Ooh, boy, let's move down the line a little bit. Right, so finally turn one over that was $6.
This is the spirit of birthday present giving. Wow. This is really what...
Tell me it didn't. At least it didn't say Starbucks on it.
It did not say Starbucks. It had a little chip on the handle.
Oh, my God.
But it was $6. I wasn't in the mood to haggle at that point. And at that point, I just bought Olga the mug. Now, I have an important family, like, let's say, time to be a dad question.
Okay.
And you guys tell me how you would handle it or what your answer would be.
Okay.
Or if what I'm suggesting or proposing is out of line.
Okay.
I'm told that L.A. has a homeless coordinator, Megan Barclay.
She's killing
it. She coordinates implementation of Los Angeles City homeless strategy. All right. Well, let's hope there's never a war and she's never a general.
Because
we would all be speaking German and Japanese at this point. She's horrible at her job.
Well, maybe her hands are
Germanese.
Yes.
I'd like to give Megan the benefit of it.
She should quit then. She's horrible at her job.
Well, I don't know.
Let me tell you about Blue Apron, and then I'll ask you guys this. Something just popped in my head. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. It's offering our listeners $30 off your first delivery. Fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes delivered right to your door can be cooked in under 45 minutes. Meals like popcorn chicken and sweet chili cabbage slaw, cumin spiced wonton noodles with vegetables and peanuts. I start salivating. It's a problem when I talk about this. 12 new recipes every week based on what's in season. Only non-GMO ingredients with no added hormones, so it's all good stuff. Ingredients I think will surprise you, like the meats and the cuts of meats and the amount. It's all better than you think it's going to be. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off at blueapron.com/Adam. That is blueapron.com/Adam. Blue Apron, better way to cook. All right, so...
parenting
note to all right, you tell me. I had this thought. All right, I woke up this morning, came out into the hall, and once again, Natalia's door is open, as well as the bathroom door open, which is the two doors that need to be closed. Now,
is the writing still on her door?
The scratchings?
She cleaned it off, okay. And now I rewrote it this morning. Everybody exits through this hall and past these doors to get to the garage to get out. So I'd like to deputize everyone in the house to close the door, but it's Natalia's door. But then you get to the bathroom door, and now that falls into some gray area. But either way, it's literally a narrow hall that leads to a very traditional, like, open this door and you're in the garage, and everyone spills out that way, and they're open. So I got out the Sharpie and wrote on there because, as we know, Phil eats the socks and then has the seizures and then vomits everywhere. But obviously, this is not working. I think we got Phil from Rob at the other shop. It was his dog when it was a pup. Phil and Rob love each other.
Oh, no.
And I think I should give Phil to Rob for a week. I'll pay Rob, but just say you keep the dog for a week and we can all just sort of think about what we need to do in terms of getting this dog to stop eating socks.
Unbeknownst to the rest of the family, that's just for a week. Under the guise of, we're giving the dog back. You obviously can't handle it. That's the ruse?
No, that would send everybody into, they'd go into banshee mode, and I'd probably get stabbed, and it'd be the worst week of my life. But I think they would miss Phil for a week.
I think so.
Don't wait too long, though, because after it gets to a certain point, it might backfire and be like, ooh, it is mighty peaceful around here.
I was going to say, that's the risk.
Yeah.
You're right. All right. So I should pay Rob to take Phil for 1 week.
It sounds like you're reaching for solutions. So what harm could this do? Yeah, give it a shot. Maybe it'll have a good effect.
Well, it'd be a full week of him not eating a sock.
Is the idea that the difficulty is Phil's access to socks is being helped, so to speak, by inattentive family members? Is that the...
It's family members...
leaving doors open.
Whose greatest fear is him having a seizure, but who have difficulty with doors.
So they leave doors open and he has access to socks.
Yeah, has access to whatever's on the floor.
It's
something that I didn't think I would encounter as an adult, but it's rampant, which is, this is my greatest fear, but this is what... I cannot do anything to prevent my greatest fear.
There is a lot of that in life.
I know a lot of these people, and it's a weird dynamic. You don't think they would live together. You know what I mean?
But here they are.
Shutting the doors has not proven to be a successful thing.
No, it has.
I would insist.
But they can't shut the door.
They shut the doors, and my wife would insist that we redesign the house so that there are no... That there's no physical, that there's some sort of some
barrier,
staircases, and you know, so it would be a $300,000 solution compared to just shutting the door. So I think anything in between that's worth a try.
Yeah, I think if you get rid of Phil for the week or you get rid of all socks for the week, it will either way, it will send a clear message.
Hey, we're going into summertime. Might be an easy time to shove those socks.
Natalia's kind of a flip-flop gal anyway.
Ah,
but,
damn it.
How did Natalia get the writing off the wall? Did she easy off it or did she paint?
Off the door.
She
scrubbed it the next day.
This has the possibility of being earth-shattering for the Corolla family. The only suggestion I would possibly have is when you tell them that you're going to take the dog away for the week, don't let them know this is any kind of punishment or anything like this. This is all for the good of the dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll be interpreted however it's interpreted. I'm not going to tell them. I'm just going to do it.
Ooh. You tell them this time, for the first week, Phil goes to Rob's. Every time other than that, whoever leaves the socks, they go to Rob's.
Awesome.
I think you're honest. I thought you were insane at first. I think you're onto something with the writing on the door. Because if Natalia, my hope was at the time, I was like, if she cares enough, if she's embarrassed enough about the writing on the door, she's going to scrub it off. It's going to be a pain in the ass and blah, blah, blah. She scrubbed it off. It probably was a pain in the ass. If you keep doing that every time, eventually she's going to get really fed up and just start closing the door. That's actually probably the most effective method.
And then in about 3 years, that'll be considered Sharpie abuse.
Yeah.
It might, but until then.
You won't be able to do it.
Well, I don't know how long it's been, but I think we didn't make it a week.
Hey,
as
man,
I recall.
The one writing got you a week.
I'll
maybe
take
writing
Phil
number two gets you 10
too,
days.
Oh, awesome.
I'll take Phil. All right, I'll work it out. Tell
keep writing.
Gary to Max a pat, or tell someone to send Rob an email telling him he's taking Phil home tonight right. And tell him I'll pay him.
Socks made of crystal ball Starbucks. Digestible.
Casey, 40, from Portland.
Yeah, how's it going, Ace Man?
Yeah, what's going on? Oh, when I'm in town, Lyft, Uber, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Lyft and Uber driver. By the way, Gina, Bald, Cesario, how's it going, guys?
Hi. Good, man.
I drive for Lyft and Uber, and it would be an honor if I could drive you around town while you're here. I know some good Polish food places. I drive stick. I'm assertive.
Drive the speed limit, or God forbid, 1 or 2 miles an hour over the speed limit?
Oh, on my time, I drive 10 to 15 over, but I'll do whatever you guys
God
want
bless,
me to.
God bless.
I like
good
it.
Good man.
Yeah.
Hey, can you watch my lab for a week?
We have two dogs. We can join a third for a week, sure.
In my annals of my stories of young employees, not the part where they're bad at their job, but just the sort of part where they don't. They say things to their bosses or
window
act a certain way that ways that are seem unthinkable to anyone over over 40.
Uh-huh. Come on, Kalen.
It's just a weird thing. Like you tell me if this would ever happen in your universe when you're young. I was leaving yesterday. There was a sack of granola. I don't know where I did with it. It was sitting on the table. I of course did the zip thing because it was open because. Yeah.
Nobody
ever closes the zip thing. And I picked it up from the front table and I put it back where the kitchen stuff is. And then when I got home last night, Lynette likes to have her snack, her carb-filled snack, before she goes to bed to taunt me. And she said, did you bring home that granola? And I said, there was granola on the table and I closed it and I put it in the kitchen. And then she said, oh, Dylan didn't tell you to take it home? And I said, no, I just got it from the table and put it in the kitchen.
Dylan!
And she went, I told Dylan to do it. This is the boss and the boss's wife. And then I talked to Dylan today, and he's like, yeah, hey, I forgot. And I shot, I don't know, did you have that gear?
Did he offer a triple check?
Yeah, he quadruple checked. I'm just saying, it doesn't make Dylan a bad guy, but I'm saying, did you have the gear where, like, the boss's wife said to bring something home for her and tell the boss to bring it with you, and then you're just like, I guess I didn't do it.
Yeah.
The Portland thing that was funny, and I was going to say to you, in the annals of people under 40 having no idea how to tell their boss, we did our show in Portland, and we got a van. Mm-hmm. We get a big van because we got people and the money you spend on multiple cabs or Ubers or whatever. And we took the van, and this is probably what we're going to do. And so we rented a van, and then we took the van to the hotel, and then we went early and did a signing, like a booze signing or something, like something. And then when we were done with the show, Mike August said to Gary and maybe Dawson, I can't remember. He said, where's the van? And he went, it's at the hotel. We cabbed it over. And he said, well, wait a minute. We rented a van. Why did you cab it over? And Gary said, we're planning on getting pretty bust. Now, I don't think these are things I would have said to my boss back in the day, who, by the way, who was going to spend money. Now we all had to get cabs back to the hotel.
I remember this. I specifically said, I'm not driving it.
Right. This wouldn't have been in my lexicon if the boss said, you're in charge of the van, it's the Extendo van, it's going to take the crew back from the gig
We rented it for one reason.
But we planned on getting pretty lit during the work. It's at night, and it's Saturday, and it's in Portland, but it's technically work. We're planning on getting pretty lit, so we decided to Uber it over. Yeah.
It's
responsible.
That isn't in.
They're not wrong.
I do not blame the action as much as I actually blame the actual response. Sure. It's an insane response. It would never.
Yeah.
It's never?
The continuing erosion of creative writing in this country. Started back with what you're talking about. Because when we were kids, we had to think of something that was a massive lie that would get us through without losing our job or getting cuffed.
Right. Would work.
That's
something
all
like
gone
this.
Now
like,
because everybody's honest and it's better emotionally and nobody knows how to tell a freaking story anymore because they haven't thought of one.
No, this is my it's a 4-day bachelor party. Tell me you have leukemia and you're going to the Mayo Clinic.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to be at work from Tuesday to the following Tuesday. Like what? Bachelor party?
My
4 days?
Infusion.
Like, talk about a bone marrow infusion or something. Say you're sick.
Really
like anything. Not anything but a 4-day bachelor party.
I would have given the doorman at the hotel a name. He accidentally parked the van in the wrong place. Then they grabbed the wrong van.
It would have went this way.
I would have somehow been the savior of the
hero.
No, it would have been like, oh, the van? don't bring that up in front of Dawson. He'll go ballistic after what we went through. He is okay. Okay. First off, we paid for the parking. All right. We didn't have the stub because he didn't give us a stub. Now, he says he gave us a stub, but he didn't. The point is this guy, first off, I'm not going to sleep until this guy gets fired.
Oh, man.
We're talking about the van. No, not in front of Dawson.
I'm just going to say tomorrow morning is going to look exactly the same as it was last night.
At a certain point, we had to tech in, so we had to call an Uber, and that was it. But don't worry. Yeah. We will settle this van issue. We're planning on getting pretty shit-faced.
And I'm sorry, but the first one to go onto the bus would have been Casey, the Uber driver, said he was going to take care of it.
That's right.
Yeah. I'd have been hauling people onto the bus.
I would at least like to give a little credit where it's due on his birthday. Kalen drove us in that giant RV back from Vegas that one time, and he was terrified.
Hero.
And he did a great job.
Hero. And didn't even have one beer. He was pretty high, but he did not drink at all.
Contrast that. Remember this, Chris, you may be able to find this. The scene in Goodfellas. No. Casino, where it's the wedding. It's De Niro and Sharon Stone's wedding. And one of the junior, entry-level guys comes up to him at the wedding. He's like, may I just say, Mrs. Rustian, you're a beautiful woman.
Right.
So, you're lucky. Man.
Yeah, he said, Mr. Rustian, you're a very lucky man. She's a beautiful woman. And De Niro's like, thank you. Thank you very much for that compliment. Thank you. And then the voiceover, what a ballsy kid. I had him fired the next day.
Yep.
For complimenting his wife at the wedding.
In such a smug, arrogant way.
He's like, he's a good kid, sharp kid. I had him fired the next day.
Yep.
Simpler times. So, Casey.
Yeah.
Sorry. I appreciate your Jennifer offer.
Your Jennifer Aniston offer.
Your Jennifer Aniston. Your generous offer. Your Jennifer offer. I will tell you that we will have a crew because we're filming the show and there will be camera guys and there'll be crew and there'll be Nate and they'll be going back and forth to the airport and picking people up. So we shall have a van that we shall rent for a couple days and somebody's going to be ferrying me back and forth to the airport and so on and so forth. So in this particular case, we do not need it, but I would hope you would come out to the show, pay retail, and enjoy a fantastic comedy evening with Adam Carolla.
Yes. I already got tickets for me and my girl to see the first show.
Love that.
I gave my number to August. I actually emailed him saying I could give you a ride, and he just responded saying, great.
It's probably spelled G-R-A-T-E, because that's what I just got from him.
Yeah. You send Mike an email that said, I heart Hitler. He'll reply with great.
Great. Sounds
that's
good.
That's how he whirls. All right. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. Ready for anything that gets thrown at it. A storm takes out the power. Simply Safe is ready. If an intruder cuts your phone line or destroys your keypad or siren, Simply Safe will still get you the help you need. It could cost an arm or leg. It should cost an arm and a leg, but it doesn't. They charge you what's fair, just $14.99 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. We have it. Dawson has it. Aforementioned Mike August has it. Gergis has it. That guy's a genius, man. Simply Safe. We all have it here, and you should check it out. Go to Simply Safe. Two I's in there. SimplySafe.com/Adam. SimplySafe.com/Adam. One more time. SimplySafe.com/Adam. All right. Jeff Cesario's here. That means Chet Waterhouse is here. Titus Welliver, always fantastic on the show, is here. Why don't we get to a little Chet Waterhouse, and we'll get on with it.
The Sports with Chet Waterhouse.
Hello again, everybody. Chet Waterhouse with the Waterhouse Wrap-Up, brought to you by Splinters, the fun new grabbing game that always teaches someone a lesson. The Masters, funny name for a tournament held at a plantation in the Deep South. Patrick Reed won over the Halloween Twins, Ricky Fowler in orange and Jordan Spieth in black. Reed did not back away from any challenges, Adam, or apparently from the cookie platter in the clubhouse. Nice to see a champ who isn't afraid to order the fried cheese curds once in a while. Tiger finished tied for 32nd, which is high enough to net him a top-tier waitress from Cracker Barrel. Last year's champ Sergio Garcia was bringing Patrick Reed his green jacket, but like a dozen of his fairway shots, Garcia dropped it in the water. That insight brought up to you by Baker's Dozen Dozen, the Sleep Aid Donuts. America's pastime, no, not failing at a microbrewery, baseball. Angels Japanese phenom show, Heyo Tanny, did something no one's done since Babe Ruth. Pounded a quart of gin, struck out 25, and hit a bus with a homer. Something like that. My stat sheet got a little yoo-hoo on it, kind of smudged. NASCAR! Kyle Busch won in Texas and made the playoffs. What playoff? The NBA playoff? I don't get it. So now LeBron's got to go up against a car. That doesn't seem fair. NFL! Defensive lineman Alton Smith arrested for the third time in 2 months, tying a record set by 147 other NFL players. College football! The University of Wisconsin canceled its spring game due to a blizzard warning, but Nickelback will still play the halftime show. That item brought to you by Bananas, the banana guaranteed to ripen tomorrow, and also by Spectacular, your one-stop spackle shop. Find that special sparkly spackle at Spectacular. If you want more of me this weekend, guys, I'll be calling the Facebook subscribers reverse tote board countdown for the Uh-Oh Network. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse. Sports.
Yeah. Chet Waterhouse, simply the best. And you can check out Jeff doing a benefit coming up. Now, the benefit
is for my kid's school, Pacific Point Academy, but I got a nice lineup.
And there's Hermosa Beach.
Comedy Magic Club show, and it's going to feature Bill Burr, Brian Regan, and Jay Leno.
Damn.
Man.
Yeah, May 8th. Go get tickets.
Big names, man.
Yeah, yeah, we're having some fun.
Love it. Okay, I'll tell you about Castrol Edge, and then we'll bring in Titus. Castrol Edge, tech advances, made engines smaller and more powerful, and they have to work a little harder. That's all right. You got Castrol Edge. It's 100% synthetic, and it works. And by the way, they've collaborated with the Electronic Arts to present an adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer, inspired by the need for speed video games. Find out if real or computer-based driving skills are superior. Just go there and check it out. Anyway, you can check it out for yourself. Castrol Edge, they deliver under the most demanding circumstances. Check it out at Castrol USA YouTube page. Okay. Titus Welliver's here. Bosch is the show, but I mean, this guy, Sons of Anarchy and Lost and Deadwood and The Good Wife, yes. The Town. Quietly one of my favorite movies of last 5 years. And not seeing enough spins on cable of The Town. Argo as well. We will take a break. We'll do a little good sports. We'll be back with Titus Welliver right after this.
From Podcast One and the voice of the American people, it's time to fight back with Barbara Boxer.
It's so hard, I think, for the average person who has to get up in the morning to follow this stuff. This is a problem solvable. All we have to do is look around the world. They have made a difference in Florida. It's unbelievable.
Listen free and subscribe to Fight Back with Barbara Boxer, exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Good sports. It's time for a sports segment. Good sports. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights.
Mixed martial arts fights.
Riffing on bad Stallone movies.
Raking the fruits of the year.
Dave's recapping hockey.
Jerks with blasters, nasally podcasting. Broadcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to this presentation of Good Sports presented by Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace. Looking through my list here. What the kibitz about here? You know what? I've always wanted to do this with you. I think the time has finally arrived here. The PIVO questionnaire. Inside Actor Studio. The hottest show on TV about like 16 years ago. But so what? Remember that? Remember Inside the Actor Studio, James Lipton? He would conclude each episode with the PIVO questionnaire. This is supposed to get at the core of who you are as a human being. Okay, so you're ready? Here we go. Adam Carolla, what's your favorite word? This would be better if we had James Lipton sound doing it because he's has that oddball delivery. What's your favorite word? He seems like he wishes he were English. Never mind the fact that he's born and raised in the U.S. of A. He's one of those guys.
Persimmon.
Didn't I say we're off and running? I did not think persimmon was going to be your favorite word. All right. What's your least favorite word?
Oh, least favorite word. Let's see. Carbuncle.
All right.
I had one once, James. Painful. Super painful, especially when it rubbed the other cheek when I would walk.
So this would be different than the one that Gary Shandling would do.
Yeah.
He would probably, you know, like, blocked or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so he's tortured. Mm-hmm. Not you.
Mm-hmm.
Carbuncle was tortured.
Mm-hmm.
What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
I would say turns me on or what motivates me or what.
I don't know. I was really hoping you just blurted out something super X-rated.
I like being left alone. And drinking an endless rant IPA. I'll plug my own. Get a little plug in.
You're out there. You're on the big stage with Lipton, all these young people, aspiring actors. That's what you're going to do is be plugging booze?
I like being. I went to my shop last Saturday. I cracked a beer and I just sat in it alone and I enjoyed myself.
All right.
I was turned on.
So, what you want in life, the thing that you love, the thing that you feel like, this is where it's at, is you with no other human beings around drinking the beer that you create.
That's right. That's me great. On me.
What turns you off? Other people.
Yes. No, what turns me off is people that don't do the right thing when it's so easy to do the right thing. Like I saw a guy walking down the sidewalk yesterday when I was walking one way. He was on the other side of the street. He summoned up a loogie and he was just walking right on the sidewalk. You know, he was a foot and a half from the street, just kind of walking along the edge. He summoned up the loogie and just shot it straight out onto the sidewalk. Now, that just means anybody walking their dog or anybody moving around in their flip-flops or whatever is just going to step in this guy's gooey loogie. If he turned his head just 3.5 degrees to the left, he would have spat out in the street.
That's right.
And if you spit out in the street, that's fine because the car tire pulls up and the guy gets out and steps onto the curb.
It goes away.
You had to put it right in the middle of the sidewalk, the thing that's meant for other human beings to walk on. You had to then leave your little viscous calling card right in the middle. And I just watched the guy. He was close to the edge of the street. It's just his face was going at 12 o'clock. He could have easily just turned to left and been at 10 o'clock, and it would have went right out into the street. But why did he care?
You know I hate that stuff.
I hate that
guy. I cannot stand. And this one is a self-aware version.
Hold on, because is this James Lipton?
Lipton rips off the tie, and all right, you want to hear? I'm going to tell it to you. That one is a guy, like, I feel like he's doing that sort of as some show to himself and to any onlookers. I think he knows exactly what you just said. We've talked about the guy who spits his gum into the urinal in the public the public toilet. I think somewhere in that person's head, they're not thinking. And that's a problem, that they're so in their own head that they're not thinking about what's going to happen to that gum. Is that going to flush away? Oh, yeah, of course. There's not piping that's going to take away that gum, so somebody else is going to have to do it. That, I saw a guy on the freeway, you know, the take your shoes and socks off on the flight. I saw a weird version of that the other day. I was driving on the 405. A guy was doing that move that you see high school girls do, where he rolled down his driver's side window and then put his foot up out the window, but he had no shoe and sock on. It was like he was there to dangle it in front of me as torment, as if my miserable drive on the 405 wasn't bad enough. Now this guy's stinking foot's out there, and I felt like he knew what he was doing. He was showing the world, look at me, everyone. Look, I'm a laid-back bro, y'all. Look at me. I just take the shoe and sock off, and I ride. That's what turns him on emotionally.
Is this still James Lipton, or are you back in the shack now? I don't know where we're at.
Now that I'm an actor, Adam, you know, after my star turn on CBS's Scorpion.
Courageous.
You know, now,
nothing
thank you.
Short of heroic.
Now, I mean, I don't want to bore everybody with acting stuff, but I mean, I can become James Lipton.
Let me ask you this.
And it was not comfortable sometimes.
Is this a two-way street? Meaning when I see Meryl Streep and I'm then inspired to be a better actor watching her, is it a two-way street? Could I see Ian Ziering in Sharknado 5 and be inspired to be a worse actor? You know what I mean? Like, it's two ways, right? It can't just be all up.
I think that,
it's got to be like, hey, I saw Ian's work and I motivated me to do a little less acting.
The real answer to that is yes, because that's obviously what we all seek. How many people say, like, at the entire workout and weight loss institution is owed to, like, is to, I got the magic bullet for you. That's what everybody wants. Like, oh, I can be as untalented as Ian Ziering and still make it? How do I do that one? Yeah,
you're right.
Of course, you should be. What's your favorite curse word?
Oh, I got this one. I won't say the home word, but sand N-word. And the reason I like that one the best is because it offends two groups. You know what I mean?
I say, and as you said earlier, you want to be alone. This is a good way to achieve that.
Yeah, you just say,
do that enough to enough people, then yeah, you'll be alone.
You say lard ass, it only affects fat people.
Right.
You
right.
say this, you get two huge groups.
See, killing
whole continents.
Two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Very good. What sound or noise do you love?
Let's see.
I should have written that. This would have been better if I would have predicted your answers.
I like the sound.
Some sort of a saw.
Of Canadian bacon hitting the griddle.
Ooh, because it covers more area than our beloved American.
Yeah,
version.
It's just a thick cut piece of Canadian bacon just hitting that griddle.
You know what? You know about my feelings about this. When people say, you know, best breakfast meat, I always say bone-in ham. You can't get much closer to a bone-in ham than a piece of Canadian bacon.
No, you cannot.
What sound or noise do you hate?
I would say the sound of, I know people say fingernails on a chalkboard. For me, text on a chalkboard. I was such a horrible student that, you know, your assignment's due, or I'm Mrs. Sontag, or this is your seventh grade homeroom. Any action with a chalkboard. Hate that sound. Reminds me of failure.
I had to go to my daughter's basketball game at a high school the other day, and you walk by a classroom as you go, and that scent, that unmistakable scent of older books
yes.
and whatever else fills elementary schools, it made me sick in my core. I don't understand how people go off, including my own children, tell me that they enjoy going to school. Like, oh, spring break, when's school start again? Like, what have I done as a parent? This is where you are at 10? You're excited to go to school?
I know, but let me ask you this. Is there a male that you know now who you like a lot who said, I love the seventh grade. I was spellbound.
Never have had a conversation like that.
I wish it was a six-day school week. Sadly, it was only five, but I was raring to go Monday morning. I know I hate that person.
Yes.
Every single human being, you know, the Henches of the world, the Kimmels, I think to some extent, everyone was absolutely miserable. And that's why I love them.
Yeah, I hate being told what to do. All right, that's it for this episode of Good Sports, where you got two-thirds of the way through the PIVO quiz. We'll see if we can pick it up on the other side. For now, Good Sports, Podcast One Sports out. Good Sports.